Welcome to The Offer, the no sugar added approach to the talent triangle with an unfiltered view of employers, candidates, and recruiters. I am your host, Michael Glinter.
The Offer, unfiltered.
Before we get started, just a reminder, if you need any type of services, questions, you are looking to do a sponsorship on my show, or you have needs as far as resumes or anything as far as the staffing industry, please email me at michael@michaelglinter.com. Again, that is michael@michaelglinter.com, so we can connect. You can also check me out on social media. And please, as a reminder, don't forget, you can subscribe to this podcast to get weekly updates, as well as please pass along information to your friends and family. Today's topic has a very special place in my heart because it's a topic that is representative of something that's challenged me for many, many years, and that is work-life balance. And it's a struggle, especially now going through COVID, that a lot of people are trying to grapple with. And it's something that I think that a lot of people can relate to. And so I brought in this amazing, amazing woman who spent years educating, working with people, talking people through these challenges, and has a wonderful perspective and mindset towards how you can really be successful in anything you do and still have some sense of balance in your life. And so I'd like to welcome to the show, Lori. Hello, Lori.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm doing amazingly well. How are you?
I love to hear that so much.
Listen, I could be lying. You don't know. I'm just kidding.
Well, listen, it's all about what, you know, it's how you what present as opposed to, you know.
Exactly. It's all about perception, right? It's what
perception is reality, Michael.
That is very true. And unfortunately right now, reality is probably not what we want. And so it's a tumultuous time in our life where we're dealing with a lot of crazy things. And, you know, it's all about pressing forward. And so I'm excited to have you on. We had a great conversation last week, and I feel like that there's probably a lot we could talk about, and we obviously only have, you know, a short stint in this round, but, you know, there may be future rounds. The thing that I spoke to you about on the phone that I really wanted to go after is understanding creating work-life balance in one's life while still being able to accomplish and exceed in their goals. You know, and I'm going to throw myself under the bus, is that I'm not one to speak on this because I spent 21 years having zero balance. And, you know, probably missed out on a lot of great things because of it. So I wanted to bring you in because I feel that you have a much better perspective on the topic. You could address the topic in a clear and concise manner and really help people realize the things that they could do in an effort to create a better balance in their life. With that being said, let's start off. Tell my audience, who are you? I mean, what are you all about? How did you come to doing what you're doing now?
Hi, Michael. It's so wonderful to be here. Thank you so much. And hello to your audience. I've had a very entrepreneurial journey. I was in corporate America for 10 years in my 20s and realized I couldn't work for anybody. So I ended up starting my own marketing and public relations business. And then as I think people learn throughout their lives, which is why it's so great to have someone, a career coach like yourself, that I just didn't want to stay in marketing and public relations all these years. I became a full professor at a university. And then I ended up getting a doctorate in organizational leadership and became a leadership coach and a motivational professional speaker. And I got to tell you, that kind of journey has really exposed me to a lot of things that working people across the country are facing. And my goal now, and I think this is kind of the pinnacle of my career, is to help people really find joy in their work, continue to be productive, and to find balance.
Great. And that's, I think everybody's listening thinking, oh my God, that's me. It's me. Let's start off with, everybody thought that the advent of technology and automation was brought to help really kind of make things easier for everyone. But in all retrospect, and maybe I speak for myself, I feel like it gives companies the excuse to pile more and more on their people, almost to a point of where it being impossible to do their job. How does somebody who feels like that they're kind of trapped, how do you address that? Like, you know that you keep taking on more and more, but yet if you feel like if you speak up, you're just putting yourself into a risk factor where they may say, well, it's either that or find something else.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting living through the advent of computers and technology. I remember I've been a writer for most of my life. And back in the day, if someone needed something, you could say, well, I just put it in the mail with a floppy disk, you know, and as ancient as that sounds, that gave you a couple of days to have some kind of, you know, cushion in case you couldn't do it right away. Now everything is so instantaneous that you are basically someone on a treadmill. And I think that's detrimental to our psyches more than anything. And it allows bosses and it allows clients to be more demanding, which requires you to be more stronger in how you set your boundaries and how you demand a life decide being a slave to technology, because basically workers are, it's at a disadvantage. As much as we like this instantaneous thing, it also makes you feel like if you get an email at 10 o'clock at night, you should answer it. And that has to stop if we want to get any kind of balance into our lives.
How do you go about that at work though? Like, how do you go about articulating that without putting yourself in a negative light? You know, because I mean, we all look at our work life as we're trying to appease the people that make those decisions to move us up, right? And oftentimes we associate that appeasement by saying yes to everything they ask. But that goes back to, if we did that, undoubtedly they don't necessarily think about how it's impacting us as a person. They're more concerned about whether or not we're achieving or accomplishing the professional goals. How do you balance that and how do you articulate that to others?
Well, it's so interesting because I think you have to look at your life holistically, Michael, and think of what you want in your work life. Sometimes when we're younger, we really, you know, we want to work, you know, you can actually work all those long hours and put in the time that your boss wants and that sort of thing. And those of us who are people pleasers, we really feel that, you know, we'll get ahead if we just, you know, work till 10 o'clock every night. But what happens to many of us as we grow older, we get more commitments in our lives, whether it's getting a partner who needs our time, getting children who needs our time, you know, even aging parents. And then also you wake up one day and you realize that you want a life. So that all holistically makes you really motivated to say, okay, how can I still maintain this job and yet meet my boss's expectations? And so what that it requires is, you know, I have a list and I'm looking forward to discussing with you how to get work-life balance in your life, but it requires you setting boundaries in a way that doesn't threaten your boss, but also gives you a life. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you could work forever and work yourself into a grave and many, many bosses wouldn't be happy with that. So it's, you either find a job that you don't have to kill yourself with, or figure out a way to communicate. And you, the way you communicate is basically you say, look, I am going to be, you set a boundary and you said it, you know, and my whole thing is, you know, without guilt. So you're going to say, and this is really important, Michael, a lot of people are losing this working from home because they think, okay, I'm working from home. I can work any hour. So where you should be stopping at 5:30, you look, your computer's like, you know, saying, come check my email. And you find yourself working into the night, which is not healthy. It's not good for you. And it's not good for the company. So what you need to say is, look, I am especially working from home, I'm planning to work from 8:30 to 5:30. And then I'm going to shut my computer off because I have other obligations. And I plan to get all of my work done between 8:30 and 5:30. And if there's an emergency, I'll help. But that is what I'm going to be able to do for you. And I promise that I'm going to be very productive during that time. But that's what I'm going to do.
You know, you bring up something that's great. I'm so glad you brought this up. One of my biggest weaknesses, I can say this as a true testament to what I've done. One of my biggest weaknesses was, and although my clients would call it a strength, is you could email me at any hour of the day. You could text me at any hour of the day and I would always respond. And so my clients loved it, right? Of course they loved it.
Of course.
Because they could call on me for the stupidest reasons on the planet and I would drop everything to their beck and call. But over the years, what I created was a monster because now
yes,
I can never stop that. I can never say to them, okay, I'm changing the way I do things.
Yes. Absolutely.
How do you convince people that it's okay to say no, or it's okay to not respond? It's okay to put that cell phone in a bucket at 8 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock at night and not look at it anymore. How do you convince people that?
Well, you know, it's so interesting because you're talking, this is such a great question, Michael, because you're talking about the expectations you set for people around you and that you have control over, the expectations. If you're answering texts at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock, people are gonna expect that. But if you say to them, you know, and it's all about communication, and you say, you know what, I don't get to my computer after 6 o'clock at night and I don't answer texts. Mm-hmm. Okay. When you tell people that and they just like without guilt, like that's the expectation. And I look forward to getting to you first thing in the morning. That is how you set those expectations. You know, I really want to work with you, but I turn off my computer at 7 o'clock every night. I just want to give you a heads up. That's the way I work. The other thing you need to do, and everyone, single one of your listeners, is it's okay to work at night, late into the night. If that's where you're, you know, if you've got kids, if you have things that, you know, you're a better writer at night, but set your email delay to send it out the next morning, because it's a bad look to look like you're working at 11 o'clock tonight. You know, people think at night, people think that's a strength, but it's really, really a weakness because, you know, this guy doesn't have a life, you know, he's not balanced. You know, it's really interesting. The perception that you want to send out, right? So if I get something from 11 o'clock and I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? You know, set your email, if you're going to work late, to set it out first thing the next morning. Because again, that shows that you can set boundaries. You still care about that person. Communication's crucial, but you unapologetically shut off your computer and shut off your phone at 7 o'clock at night.
Hey, you know, that is very interesting. I can't tell you how many times I've said to people, I have to do this now. I just need to get it done because I don't want to have to worry about it. But then I still hit send.
So don't hit send.
That's so funny.
Because that perception, I mean, you could work, like a lot of people work late into the night, but you don't want people to know that. And there's no reason they need to know that. You can have a normal, like 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's interesting, Michael, you talk about, I live and work on the West Coast, and I have a boatload of East Coast clients. And they know that I don't get to work until 8 o'clock in the morning because I walk every morning for 5 miles. And so 8 o'clock is when I start Pacific time, which is 11 o'clock their time. And I never get pushback because they know that's the expectation I said when they hired me. So I have no guilt about that because East Coast clients, I could be up at 4, right? For a 7 o'clock meeting. No, thank you. There's my one exception is I have a 6 o'clock leadership meeting every Wednesday morning, my time, 9 o'clock their time with one of my big clients. So I'll do that because that's on the schedule. But everybody, and you know what? No one hates me. I have a ton of business. But they understand that this, I have a life and this is how I live it because I've communicated it. And they know once they get me on the phone at 8 o'clock in the morning, they have me and they have me bright and bushy tailed, but don't expect me to be there at 7:59 because I won't.
Mm-hmm. But there are, but some people argue that depending on where you're working and who you're working, like the time zones and stuff, that, you know, you also want to keep the flow of information consistent. Like you said that if a client emails you on the East Coast and you're on the West Coast, they've got to be cognizant of the time change. But at the end, let's say you get an email from them, you know, later in your day, and you email them, you don't want to email them back a response because you want to set boundaries, but really the boundaries are different when it's going cross zones. I guess you have to kind of think of, I guess, who you're talking to and
right, exactly,
and how you can manage that.
But, you know, Michael, you know, just communicate with your clients. Say, you know what, I'm going to be answering your emails till 6 o'clock my time, which is 9 o'clock your time at night. And I don't expect an answer. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, this is how we work. And just know that I'm with you and you'll get it, you know. And then there's some new clients. You just have to really bite the bullet and work, you know, send those things out. But, you know, at the end of the day, people are okay with that. You know, people are okay. If you're offering quality, responsive, great work, then people are okay with that. So it's just a question of perception. I am that person. And it sounds cranky, but I am one of the, my leadership brand is I'm very responsive and I get back right to clients and they know it. They know that I don't mess around, but they will not hear from me after 7 o'clock at night. They just won't. And I will not put a slave to my computer because, you know, Michael, it's interesting. At the end of the day, and I bring this up in my motivational speeches, I got cancer when I was 55. And there was I had a tumor in my small bowel and they didn't know. And then when they took it out, they couldn't believe it was, a tumor. And then there was a couple of days there. They didn't know whether I was going to last 3 weeks or if I was going to live. Right. So in those two days, I was thinking, and I was a big worker. I was a high achiever like you were, you know, all that. At the end of the day, all that really mattered was the people around me and the love I had in my life. And I'm a doc. I mean, I have a doctorate. I mean, I'm a huge achiever, but you really have to understand how important life balance is. And once you make your life a priority, and you're comfortable in your job and you can make your life a priority or find a job that understands that, then you're going to be a happier individual. So it's really tough to stand up for yourself, but you can, if you deliver quality work and you communicate why you're doing that, you know, fighting for work-life balance is at the end of the day, you know, this is the only life we have and you don't want to be, unless you love your work, you know, which I love my work. I mean, I'm working 7 days a week, but again, I still have my boundaries. So, you know, love is love and your life is your life. And when you get right down to it, work is super important. I mean, I've held 3 jobs. I've worked like a dog, you know, but at the end of the day, I've always had balance in my life. And that is crucial to what, and that's what how I help my clients and my, my corporate clients is how to achieve that balance. Cause a balanced employee is a happier employee.
Absolutely. Do you think that the expectations people have for themselves are driven mainly by the company, or do you think it's self-driven?
I think it's a combination of both, but I urge, you know, people to be self-driven and find a company that matches who you are. If you're really a hard worker, like a lot of young lawyers, you know, and doctors, I mean, that's just, and pilots, you have to work those hours. But there's so many of us who aren't that, or who are managers and supervisors. And, you know, there's so many interesting companies out there. And to find that, it's like finding the perfect partner, finding that fit, that they respect you and that you and you're appreciated and respected in the workplace. And I think that's important to try to find. You know, I really believe at the end of the day, you know, you work really hard when you're younger, but as you get older, you really need to start thinking about where can I find a job that really respects my downtime? You know, I can't imagine not working for a company like that. And when I go into companies and work with them, we've changed corporate culture because we realize that there needs to be balance. And Michael, the biggest change in corporate culture was the COVID virus and having everybody have to all of a sudden work from home. I had clients who refused to have their employees work from home. And then all of a sudden they were forced, you know, because they didn't trust them, right? And then they were forced to work from home, have their employees. And all of a sudden their employees did a great job. So that there was a culture change, a trust change there. And so I think you're going to find in companies that you can change culture. You just have to be really mindful of it and find companies whose cultures have changed.
What could companies do differently?
I think that they really need to, first of all, trust their employees that they're going to work hard, give them the tools that they need and the things that they need to be successful. And then they can make a culture, like make people take their vacations, create health and wellness, you know, extras and Zoom meetings and gym memberships, encourage people to take their downtime. Because I'll tell you, there's been lots of research, and I don't have it on the tip of my hands, but that people who are more productive are the people who are more balanced. Because listen, burnout is a real thing. And if companies can make a culture where, you know, we really, you know, the whole work hard, play hard idea, they can actually make that from the top down. And that it's not a good thing. Like, you know, that whole thing, you know, the person who works latest in the office is the one who's the winner. Make that, that's not, the person who leaves at 6 every night, that's the person who's the winner because they got their work done and they respect themselves. That kind of corporate change.
Right. Do you think that, we talk about COVID and we think that, do you feel like it's gotten worse? Do you think work-life balance over the last year has gotten worse or better?
Worse, absolutely.
Why?
Because employees are not turning off their computers at 5:30 mm-hmm. or 6, and everyone I've spoken with, you know, in academia and nonprofits, everyone's having this longer day because they're not setting those rules saying I'm turning off my computer at 5:30 or 6, and they feel like, you know, they don't make that delineation between work and home. So what I always suggest to people to counter that is really have a time where you literally go to work, meaning get it to your office, you know, have that routine where, you know, you start at 8 every morning and, you know, you have your cup of coffee, then you like walk to your, make that mindful transition to work. And then at the end of the day, you know, get yourself organized for the next day and then stop. Because otherwise everything bleeds into another and you're finding yourself working 7 days a week and exhausted. Not to mention, you know, and then there's a flexibility issue. You know, a lot of people are parenting young people, they've got other responsibilities. So you need to work with your boss and your clients to figure out, like, if you need to help your kid from 8 to 11 o'clock in the morning or whatever those school hours are, you just have to say, you know, hopefully you have a boss who says, you know what, I am off the books from 8 to 11, but I'll work from 11 to 8 or whatever you'll do, because that's what I need to do. And that's another big, you know, women are leaving the workforce in droves because they cannot do both things at once. It's just been really, there's a lot of upheaval, Michael, that you're going to see the repercussions for a long time, but it's just hard. That's, which is why you have to step it up as an individual to really set your boundaries and do all that.
But going back to the company's perspective, don't you believe that companies also should have a stake in this on making sure that their employees are balancing at home? Because, you know, yes. I hear this all the time. You just mentioned it. Women are leaving the workplace. The reason why is because they can't figure out a way to manage their kids' education, juggling the family stuff, but also juggling their work when they're working at home with 4 kids that are trying to homeschool. What are companies doing to fix that problem?
They need to be, first of all, aware of it and then figure out some kind of flexible schedules so that, you know, and maybe going into a 4-day week or some kind of, you know, thinking outside the box, giving them the tools they need at home, a good workspace, you know, the computers they need, whatever the resources they need, give them flexible work hours, maybe allowing them to work on a weekend day or something, but work with their employees to be sure that everything gets done. And also, you know, it's just really hard. There's no magic here, but working with your employer, and the companies need to work with their employees to figure out what their needs are and how we can help you be successful. Because if we can help our employees be successful, then the company is going to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's a mindfulness. It's really, we're going to do this. The company's saying, we are going to help our employees. It's not a one way.
So you talk about working from home, and this is a big topic right now. We have people that have distractions, right? We mm-hmm. also have people that don't have the resources to have a comfortable workspace even. I mean, I know some people that are doing work from home from their couch. Do you feel like that you mentioned having an office, closing the door. Do you feel like it's important for individuals to create some type of separation between their personal and their work when they're at home?
Absolutely. And I spoke on this a lot early in like last April and May, because, you know, people were throwing their employees into the home work at home and not giving them any idea or tools how to do it. I've been working from home since 1987. And the first couple of years, it's hard because there are distractions. You've got television and you've got kids and you've got, you know, laundry and cooking. It's very difficult to figure that out. Everyone's thrown into the water without teaching them how to swim. But one of the most important things you have to do to be productive at home is to create a workspace. Hopefully you can do that by shutting a door. You know, working in the kitchen is not, it kind of taints the kitchen because, it taints it because.
I had a woman do a Zoom call in her laundry room. I'm like, really?
I mean, that's just sad. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's a desk in your bedroom that you can shut the door away from other family members, it's crucial to have that space or a corner of the living room, but a dedicated space. And if you have to go to a thrift store to buy a desk, you know, or a card table or whatever it is, instead of working on a couch, because that mindset, that work mindset, and that separation is crucial for your happiness.
Well, so, it's not only your happiness, but it's also your family's happiness.
And your family's happiness.
I mean, do you know how many times I hear people having marital issues now?
Oh, Michael, it's scary, you know, because you know, when you get married, you don't think you're going to be with someone 24 hours a day, mm-hmm. you know, all the time. It's just not healthy. So you have to really even create that space. And that's another boundary you have to set with your spouse and your kids and your significant others. It's like, you know what? This is my time. I work. I cannot be interrupted. And you have to set that boundary at home too. I set that boundary for years. I raised kids working from home and they knew if mom had her headset on, don't talk, you know, because I was doing something that was work related. You have to communicate and set those boundaries or else it's not going to be successful. And you're going to be miserable. I'm a big pivot to the positive person. And you got to figure out in your life how you are going to achieve joy and happiness every day. And being constantly interrupted because you did not set boundaries is one way to be miserable.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also when you say boundaries, you're not only talking about boundaries for the people around you, but you're also talking boundaries for yourself.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And also this goes to the fact that, listen, pretend you're in the office. Do the same behaviors that you would do had you been in the office. Meaning, if you found yourself always taking an hour-long lunch break and going out to lunch or doing something for lunch, you have to do it at home.
Absolutely. Those breaks at home are crucial. And you have to plan them, Michael. You have to be really intentional about setting a break for yourself. Yeah, people don't do that either.
Right. You know? I think the problem is when people got pushed to working from home, they their whole process of how they manage their day kind of went out the window.
Yes.
And they started to forget about the things that help balance them at work can also help balance them at home as well.
Absolutely. And speaking of balance, may I share like the five things that people can do to find a better work-life balance? Because I have five really extraordinary things.
Absolutely. Share away.
First of all, you know, I have to tell, when you look at work-life balance, I don't want people to look at it in terms of time. Like, I only have so much time for this, so much time for that. Because Michael, time is finite. And once time is gone, it's gone. Like, we'll never get this hour that we're spending our podcast hour back. It's done. It's gone. But energy, if you look at your life in terms of energy and energy management, energy is renewable. So you can renew your energy every day. Place that energy helps you find that balance. So some days you're going to be putting 80% of your energy into work and 20% of your energy into your family or your other things or your own thing. And sometimes you're going to be 80% of your doing your own thing and 20% with work. So you need to figure out where every day when you wake up, where am I going to put my energy? And when is my energy peak? That looking at your energy and feeling energetic, I think, is really important to work-life balance. And it's something we don't look at. You know, work-life balance is such a, you know, overdone word. But at the end of the day, it's really important to think about. So the first thing, Michael, you have to do is let go of guilt. You have to stop feeling guilty that you're not being a great enough employee or a great enough parent or a great enough, you know, a significant other. Stop feeling guilt. It's a useless emotion. You know, I gave it up. I personally gave it up at 40. I think you can give it up at 25. And stop thinking, you know, poorly about yourself. Start looking at the more positive thing. Does that resonate with you at all?
Sure. Of course.
Yes. Number two, understand what you can control and what you can't. And plan for it. For example, in your day, you're going to have meetings that you have to attend, or you're going to have a boss who's cranky. Those things you can't control. But what you can control is how you react to that and how you plan your day around it. But recognizing what you can and what you can't control is really energizing, because it allows you not to put your energy into things you can't control, like what's going on in the world right now. And what you can control is kind of your own microcosm. Right. Number three, set clear boundaries at work and at home. Tell your family you love them, but you have to work a certain time. And at work, you have to say, you know what? I am turning off my computer at 6 o'clock every night. Unless there's a special project, I will be back on at 8. And tell them why. The reason why I'm doing this is that I need to pay attention to my family, or I need to, you know, work on a project that I'm another thing, whatever it is, communicate the why. And number four is communicate your needs. Tell people, tell your boss, tell your family what you need and why. And don't be ashamed of it. It is okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask for your balance. And don't feel guilty about it. It's okay to do that. And fifth, be mindful and in the moment. When you're at work, be at work. Don't think about what, you know, oh my God, I'm missing out on, you know, Sally's, you know, homework or whatever. Be at work. And then when you're with your family or you're with your friends, be with your friends and don't think of work. When you're mindful and you're present, you get a lot more balance. And those are the five quick things that I really wanted to sneak in there, because it is a possible thing, but it's a thing you choose. You wake up anymore and say, I am going to choose to have a more balanced life. I'm going to be mindful of it. I'm going to take care of myself, and I'm going to do it. And you don't have to sacrifice your career or your life or your credibility when you do it the right way. And you do it the way that without guilt and without shame. And the fact this is the way that I am going to live.
So I'm going to throw one more thing in, because you and I spoke about this. And it's my, I guess, partially my own personal story.
Yes.
And this is something that I think people need to think about, you know, even today. You know, I would see a therapist. Listen, a lot of people see therapists. Therapists see therapists.
Yes. Therapists are amazing.
So therapists help us not only through issues in our lives, but also how to better drive our journey long-term. So it's great to talk to people and get a secondary opinion. And one day, you know, this topic was work-life balance was the topic of the day. We were talking about like challenges, how it was causing angst and struggle in my personal life. And really, you know, I knew that if I didn't make considerable changes long-term, that it would ultimately cause, you know, health issues down the road. And my therapist looked at me one day and said, I want you to do, I'm going to give you an assignment. I want you to go home and on a piece of paper, write down all the ways, all the things that define you other than work, and come back in a month and we'll go through them all and talk about how we can better balance them. And so I went home to work on this assignment, came back a month later, handed her my piece of paper, and she looked up at me and said, it's blank.
Wow. And that's intense.
And I looked at her and said, I can't think of anything.
Oh.
And that was the start of my realization that I'm working too much. I'm not allowing myself to be defined by other things.
Yes.
And then she used this analogy that kind of freaked me out. She said, Michael, if you died today and all the people that knew you stood in front of you in a room to talk about you, what would they say? And would anything they say be other than work?
Oh.
And you know what's funny is I honestly thought to myself, shit.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
Like what
that
would
is
they
profound.
Say? you know, it was one of those moments where you kind of realize, well, crap. You know, I need to make some changes because I'm not defined well. And no, I'm not giving myself the balance. Now, I'm sure people are going to ask, well, how are you today? I'm much better. I mean, I decided after many years of being with the same company to retire from the company. And now I'm focused on more balancing, you know, work and life. And I do, you know, things on the side. And if people ask you how do they define me today? They'd have probably a book. But at the end of the day, it's an exercise I think we all should do because it will help us realize, are we balancing well? And if you find yourself struggling to answer or go through this process and answer that question of, you know, how do you define yourself outside of work, then you know you're not balancing well. And I think that is really crucial. You have to recognize and accept the fact that you have a problem. It's like with anything. Anything you got going on in your world, you've got to accept the fact that you have that issue first. Otherwise, you can't address it. I mean, it is what it is.
So Michael, that is really profound. So what did you do? How did you turn it around? And because that's an entrenchment of work, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, it was my first step was trying to identify what was the motivation for me to focus so much on work. And what I realized, and this was, and the problem is it wasn't something that really on the mindset of what it was like at the moment, but I think I conditioned myself over the years based on my environment. So, you know, and not to get too much into my story, but at an early age, I was a younger brother to someone who was 18 months older than me. And everything that he did was great. Everything I did was terrible. He was the overachiever and I was the failure. And so I constantly was having to prove myself and find extra ways to prove myself to my parents so they could recognize that I'm not just, you know, a pile of crap.
So
my ultimate way of succeeding in that was becoming one of the top recruiters in my company and being the best at what I did. The problem was I was so conditioned on that being the how I defined me at that point that I forgot to realize all the things that outside of that, that I did well and that I was good at and that I wasn't utilizing.
Yes.
And even having gone through several relationships, I think I look back at the relationships I had with people in my life, personal relationships, and why those relationships didn't work. And it was because I always defined myself as work being the most important thing. And if I wasn't succeeding at work, then I wasn't succeeding. And so one of the major changes I started to make in that moment was to define, all the other things that I can enjoy, that I can have fun doing, that I can feel rewarded with, that had nothing to do with my day-to-day job. And then slowly injecting those things into my life. It's a process. It's not, you can't just flip a switch. You can't expect people to flip a switch. For me, it was 39 years of the same routine, the same mindset, the same thought process. You can't break that in one day, okay?
Right.
That is something that breaks over time. But I can truly say now, and there are several people in my life who will say the same thing, I don't stress anymore. I don't give a crap. A buddy of mine called me yesterday, left me a message to call him back. And the normal Michael from 20 years ago would have called him back in seconds. I knew he'd call. I saw he called. I saw his voicemail. I was playing golf. And guess what? I didn't stop playing golf.
I love that.
I finished my round. 3 hours later, I called him back and he goes, dude, what's up? What took you so long? I said, I was playing golf. And I'll tell you, I would have never done that before.
Yes.
But I realized that he can wait.
Yes.
I created those expectations. It's
yes.
time for that to change. So that's really how I started. I started injecting, you know, things that could break up those behaviors in small doses so that it didn't seem so painful. And slowly over time, it created this balance that, I mean, now I love it. I wake up every day excited. I work, I still work, but I'm excited about my work because I know that it's not overwhelming me.
Yes.
It's all I do. It's not what defines me, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
And so the advice that I would give to listeners in respect to your question is you've got to make a list of the things that you could do that can still make you happy, but that take you away from that one task of doing your job and find time to do it, whether it be 20, 30 minutes at a time. You know, one of the things that I also now do, I'm not a big exerciser, never have, you know, people ask me, you know, how many calories did I burn today? I don't know. Is moving my arm up and down burning calories? But now I've started going on walks, and you know, every morning I'll go for a walk. Now it could be a 20-minute walk, it could be a 45-minute walk, whatever. But I started doing this for two reasons. One, I have back issues that I'm trying to resolve, and my chiropractor always says, "Well, you sit at a desk all day. Until you stop doing that, you're going to keep having back issues." But I also started doing it just to kind of clear my mind, and kind of reset. And I'll tell you. Best decision I ever made. Hardest decision to make, but best decision I ever made.
Well, you know, Michael, I think that your story is so good. It's so illustrative of what I'm trying to talk about. So thank you. It's fabulous. And you know what? Ultimately, what you did is you gave yourself permission to have balance in your life. And and that therapist really helped. I'm a big proponent of therapy too, because that is such a strong part of this, is to give yourself permission to live a balanced life. And I have given myself permission after all these years. You have, and the results, you just never look back. It's just, you become another happier, joyful person. And it's just great.
It's not just about therapists either. I mean, it could be anybody. Like they could hire you to work them through. They could hire a career coach.
Yes.
Can go to their next door neighbor. But I can tell you, one of the biggest things that people fail to do is talk.
Yes.
Talk to somebody. It doesn't have to be somebody who got a degree in psychology. It doesn't have to be somebody who specializes in, you know, transforming people's lifestyles. It could be anybody. The problem is that until you hear you say it, until you speak it, you're really not absorbing it. And then once you actually speak it, you then realize, I have a problem. And so I don't care who the person is you're talking to. I mean, obviously, Lori wants it to be her. I want it to be me, because that's what we do. But at the end of the day, it doesn't have to be somebody that you hire. It could be even your next door neighbor. It could even be your best friend. But you say it out loud. Once you say it out loud, it takes it to a whole nother level. It takes it to a level that one could not necessarily have if they didn't say it out loud. Thinking it doesn't mean you're acting on it.
That is so absolutely, absolutely true. Absolutely. Such great, that's such great advice, especially at the beginning of a year when you have this whole year ahead of you and what you want to do with that.
So tell me, Lori, what's your gig? What do you offer candidate or people? Obviously, you have a shtick that you have a business. You've been you've been running your own business for years. What do you offer people that they need to know about?
Well, I do a couple of things. I work with companies in helping do, you know, employee training, employee leadership, bringing leadership skills to people. So people learn how to work in teams and learn conflict management and learn how to really thrive. Because, you know, it's interesting. We don't teach our leaders how to lead in a company. They're thrown in as supervisors. They get promoted and you don't know what you're doing. So I do that. And I also do one-on-one coaching, professional coaching, leadership coaching, life coaching to help people really excel in their careers, excel in their professional lives, find balance, you know, change careers, you know, be more successful. So I do that too. So a lot of leadership coaching, you know, becoming better leaders. We're all leaders. So I do those primary things. And I love speaking to professional organizations too, but with the COVID, it's, you know, my speaking gigs have calmed down. I do it virtually, but in the real world, it's nice speaking to large audiences.
Absolutely. And so if you're looking to take your career to that next level, if you're looking for someone that can inspire you, if you're looking for someone who can help you develop as a person, I would strongly recommend reaching out to Lori. I'm going to put her contact information in my podcast notes so you guys have access to reaching out to her. Again, you get what you give and you get what you ask for. If you accept the fact that there may be a problem, accept the fact that there may be an issue and admit to that issue, then, you know, you're one step there and reaching out to somebody like Lori, you know, may get you to the point of realization on how you're going to surpass that problem. And so it's very important, I think, that people recognize the fact that it takes accepting the problem, acknowledging the problem, and then addressing the problem. And, you know, go through those steps, talk to people, be outspoken, and really do what you can to try to help better yourself.
Absolutely. You know, people sometimes feel stuck, Michael, and there's no need to be feeling stuck. You know, there's always a solution to any career problem. There's no need to feel stuck or be stuck.
Absolutely. Lori, great talking to you. I'm sure we'll talk again. I'm sure I'll have you on again. I love your energy. And we all know in the world of podcasting, it's all about how well you energize people over the phone. And so I really appreciate you taking the time today. And I certainly wish you well and safety. Those that don't know, Lori is currently living out in Los Angeles. Obviously, COVID is not treating Los Angeles very well. And so I think I speak for my listeners to say that, you know, we wish you the best and healthiness and hopefully we'll get through this together.
Thank you. And thanks to your beautiful listeners. And wishing everyone good health and happiness and joy this year, despite the odds. And thank you for having me on, Michael. This has been such a pleasure and you're energizing. So it's just been great. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lori. I'll speak to you soon.
Wonderful.
Bye.
Please remember to subscribe to my podcast. Also, please feel free to share, like, send, tag your friends, let them have the opportunity to listen and understand and get a better viewpoint from the people that we talk to. Also, please don't forget, if you have any questions, you can email me at any time. And I hope you guys had a great day.